So Joshua, chapter 1. We got a long way to go today, so I got about 3 hours worth of notes. Hope you guys ate a big breakfast. But Joshua is written by, pop quiz, it's in the book, Joshua, yeah, good. So there are some debates from higher critics, but Joshua is the one who wrote it, except for a couple pieces at the end that as you study for yourselves can get into. But it's really a book about faith and about trust and about obeying what the Lord has calling for your life. So in it we see a lot of really great examples of leadership, leading through faith, and again, just what obeying the calling that God has for you can do for your life and for those around you. But in addition to that, we also see what personal sin can have, the impact that it would have on your life. But not only in your life, but also in, again, the life of all of those around you. So leading up to the book of Joshua, you have Genesis, which covers the creation, the fall of man, the introduction of sin in the world, and you have Egypt enslaving Israel. So then you have Exodus, which is Israel coming out of that bondage of sin. And that Exodus was in 1446 B.C. And you say, well, how do you know that? In 1 Kings chapter 6, it says that they left Egypt. Israel left Egypt 480 years before the fourth year of Solomon's reign, and that was in 966 B.C. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief. They sent out 12 spies before to spy out the land of Canaan, and 10 came back with an evil report, and that caused 40 years of them to wander through the wilderness because of that unbelief. Only Joshua and his brother Caleb were the two that gave the good report. So it took about 7 years to for this conquest to be complete, right, for Joshua to carry through all that he was going to be called to. And we think that he might have been in his 20s when they left Egypt. So by the time that he's called to lead Israel into this battle, he's no spring chicken. So when he comes out of his tent every morning, I'm sure his back hurts, his knees are aching, ankles popping. And then he dies around 110 and passes it, passes the torch to them. So with that, we'll go into verse 1. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. So pop quiz. What was Joshua's job before he took over as leader of Israel? Moses' assistant. Good. Read it right there. So really great example in our life of what a leader should be, right? And I say this because I think, as you know, a leader starts with leading yourself. And a great test of that is how you do under someone else's authority. Because as you step into positions of leadership, how you do under authority should be demonstrated by how you treat those under you, but also hopefully you still stay under the authority of God as you jump into leadership positions. And it's not just with your job, right? Like I said, everyone should be leading themselves in all areas of their life. But when you're married, men, you have a calling to lead your family. How are you leading your family? Are you leading them in a way that Christ would be lifted up? Same thing for you, women. Are you guys leading your children? Are you guys in the Word with your children, teaching them, praying with them? And then as Moses' assistant, Joshua really got to see how to handle a lot of different situations. So this 40 years through the wilderness, Israel wasn't the best at listening to Moses and heeding the word of the Lord. So, you know, a lot of complaining and backsliding. You know, we just crossed into the cross over the Red Sea, and you know, all the Egyptians were killed during that. But we still had this lack of faith when we go in and try to take the land, right? We're hungry, so now we're going to eat all this miraculous manna, right? Well, now we want meat. So here's all these doves that come in, and you know, we get meat that way. And then Moses, you're taking too long on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, right? So let's build a couple of calves, and let's worship those while you're up there with the, you know, in the presence of God, and him writing those Ten Commandments on a couple of tablets with his finger, right? So, I mean, just a lot of examples of how the Israelites were not always the most faithful to listen and you know, hear the word, but to how to handle that, right? So the constant prayer and intercession that Moses had for the people, right? The those conversations with God and him just being on his face, really great examples of that type of leadership that Joshua got as Moses' assistant. So then in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So we have a map. We can throw that up, Nick. So kind of hard to see, I realize. And you know where the cities are and all that is not that important. What is important, though, is this green line that you can kind of see is the path of the Exodus, and then the yellow dotted line is really the path of the conquest, where the Israelis were to go to take the land. So all of this is where God promised them that he would give them all of that land. Now, as you continue on through, you'll see that they weren't faithful to take all of that land, and that won't be fully fulfilled until the coming of Jesus again, but this is what God promised. But there was still work involved. There was still a battle that they had to do to take that. So that was his promise, right? I'm going to give this to you. But it's not you sitting in your tent hanging out and then everybody going to leave all of their fortified cities and castles and you know, all that. Like, they still had to go and take the land. They had to step out in faith to battle. So God wants peace for you, love, joy, long-suffering, patience. He wants all of those things for you. But there's a battle to take it, right? So you have to control what you watch, what you listen to, situations that you put yourself in. So there's going to be some uncomfortable times. There's going to be times you want to say no, right? The first battle in all of this is going to be with your flesh. And some of those times when we say no is October 28th, 237, right? But it's being faithful. It's being obedient, again, to what God has called for you, for your life. So when you do come into these trials, how are you going to handle those? Right? A lot of times, Crystal, her husband, likes to take things into his own hands. Crystal's my wife, by the way, and do things on his own, right? So sometimes I forget, like, hey, I've got the God I can call on, right? I've got the power of prayer, and going through trials, sometimes I forget that, you know, I should be praying. I should be coming closer to the Lord instead of further and further away from him in some of the trials that I go through or that, you know, we go through in our marriage. So picking up verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Second time in just a couple of sentences here. Very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you, not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So, backing up to verse 5. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So how many of us know that? Right, it's easy if you're on a mountaintop to remember that. But when you're in the valley, how many of us know that and remember that? That God is with us. He's not going to leave us. So, verse 8, the book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So just to sum that up, what does that mean? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. So again, going back, when you're in a trial, are you drawing closer to God in that trial? Are you in your word? Are you seeking out his calling? What do he want you to do? Or are you being like the goon up here and trying to do things yourself? So have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? That's a third time. So obviously he needs that encouragement. And we'll see this a couple more times, and it's really is a blessing to have that encouragement from the Lord, right? Just to know that he's there for you. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua, commander of the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gave you to possess. Now, Joshua has been waiting on this for 40 years, and it's time, almost. So he's saying it's 3 more days. So he's waited 40 years, and now he's waiting another 3 days to take the land. Now, all of this generation, all of their parents had died because of their unfaithfulness in the wilderness. So it's up to their children to take the land. So you've got this ragtag group of people who are, about to go into battle. Now, they weren't spending 40 years, I would think, in the wilderness in basic training or boot camp. Right, they weren't learning how to march or how to fight. And now they've got to go up against these huge fortified cities. And we're going to see in a little bit, these walls are so big that people are living in them. So it could be a pretty frightening experience to, your first battle is going into some of these with these giants who own the land, have well-established, well-fortified. So in their head, they've got 3 days to think about this, to prepare for this, get their food, provisions ready, and then to set on going into this battle. But again, that goes back to where your mind is. Is it with the Lord? Is it with what he's promised you? Or is it you putting your faith in yourself, in your own strength? So verse 12, And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant, the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. For your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor to help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, and he gave, as he gave you, and they have also taken possession of the land which the Lord your God has given them. Then you shall return to the land you of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded, we will do. All right, this is great. As a leader, you tell us what to do, we're going to do it. And wherever you send us, we will go. So even better, right? You're going to do what I tell you I need you to do. You're going to go where I tell you you need to go, just as we heeded to Moses in all things. If I was Joshua, my record might skip a little bit there. Right, so Joshua, as Moses' assistant, got to see all of the ways that the Israelites didn't listen to Moses. So that might make me second guess some of the dedication here. But we keep going. So that we will heed you, only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. So there's their proof of their motivation, I guess. Only be strong and of good courage. So you've heard it from the Lord three times, be strong and of good courage. And now the people are also giving him some encouragement. So I think really a blessing when you know that the people around you that's in your life that you're called to be with, right, to serve with and lead are surrounding you in your times, right? You know, going back to me finding out yesterday that I was going to be up here, Crystal starts texting everybody in her contact list. So a lot of prayers, a lot of jokes, a lot more prayers though. So it was good, but it is encouraging to have that that push from the people in your life. So going on to chapter 2, now Joshua, son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, stop there for a second. So before, when spies were sent out, didn't work out so well for the people of Israel. So they sent out the 12 before, that cost them 40 years wandering through the land and missing out on God's promise for their lives. So now Joshua's sending out two spies. He's saying, go in secret and spy out the land. Go view the land, especially Jericho. Jericho's first on this list. So they went, and they came to the house of a harlot. Now, if you're going in to spy out a land, why would you stay in a prostitute's house? So if you go to an inn, right, they're going to want to see your credit card. They're going to want to see your driver's license. Some inns might even want to see the make and model of your camel, right? But if you go to a prostitute's house, not going to be a lot of questions asked, right? Not a lot of small talk going on there. So if you want to blend in, if you want to go about your business in a tactical manner, this is the approach to take, right? So there's, a custom that you would, like, men would come in from out of town and seek out these houses. So this wouldn't really be out of the ordinary, right? There'd be really no suspicion drawn from this. And it was told, so verse 2, and it was told the king Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. I mean, so there's a few things that could have tipped them off to this, right? They could have 40-year-old clothes on that haven't worn out yet. Could be the way that they talked or the way they looked. But something has cued off their internal intelligence here to say, hey, these guys are up to no good. So verse 3, the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. And where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, so that you may overtake them. So Rahab just lied there, right? So, yep, they came here, a little bit of truth. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they went, but they're not here now. So I think this might trip some people up, right? Like, why did she lie? And then if we're going to keep reading and we're going to see that, you know, she was brought out and spared from the judgment that that God had for Jericho. But, I mean, really, you think this is the first time that she's lied about men being in her house? Yeah. So don't let that trip you up, right? So we'll see here in a little, we'll just keep reading here. So verse 6, but she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of the flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So this is just a stamp in history to show some relevance to the time of the year that it is. What they would do is they would take this flax, they would soak them in water, dry them out on the roof, and then they would make linen out of it. So verse 7, then the men pursued them on the road to Jordan to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So at night, they would shut the gate, and after a certain point of the evening, they would open it back up until daylight. That's for safety reasons. But verse 8, now before they lay down, they came up to them on the roof. Sorry, now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all of the inhabitants of your land are faint-hearted because of you. So what we see here is a level of faithfulness from Rahab. So, and really more faithfulness than their parents had been, right? So as the 12 spies went in, 10 spies came back and said, you know, there's giants here, there's walls, we can't overtake them. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, yeah, there are giants, but the Lord has given this to us. But the children of Israel had seen all of these miracles. They saw the 10 plagues in Egypt. They saw the crossing of the Red Sea, the manna, the miraculous healing from the snake bites. So all these things they had seen and still had a level of unbelief that kept them from all that God has promised them. And Rahab has just heard about it and is coming to faith through, in some ways, Israel's testimony. So your testimony, like one of the most powerful things you can share with somebody, how you came to know Christ. And you know, it doesn't matter if it's not that exciting, right? I mean, who says it has to be? But just being able to tell how God took you from your bondage, from the death of sin, into his love and his grace and salvation. So, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water in the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is a God in God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So, just coming to faith in God and all that he can do, and seeing how everyone was fearful, seeing the 2 and some change million people that are standing at the doorsteps, or about to be standing at the doorsteps of Jericho, ready to take it over. Verse 12, now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token. Verse 13, spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver us, or deliver our lives from death. So just coming to faith was the first thing on her heart. Her family, right? Those closest to her. So seeing that belief and what that can get her through that salvation, now she wants others in her life to have that experience, to know Christ and the power that he has. So verse 14. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, and we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall again. So some of the things I read said that there were really two walls. So there would be an outer wall, there would be some space, and then an inner wall. Again, the walls are large enough for them to, for folks to live in. And it really tells to the position in society of living in the wall, right? So if you're king, nobility, if you have the money, the ability to kind of choose where you live, probably not going to live in the first place that would be attacked in a battle, right? So the expendable cast members, we'll say, are in the wall, and then as you move in closer to the city, you have more and more protection, more people to fight for you, directly or indirectly. So telling her position in that culture. 15, then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, she dwelt in the wall. Verse 16, and then she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterwards, you may go on your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord on the window, which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So interesting there, this scarlet cord, this red cord. So what did they put on the door to skip that judgment of Passover? Blood, right? Red. And then this scarlet cord, this red cord hanging from Rahab's window is going to spare her from the judgment that the rest of Jericho is going to have to go through when Israel comes in as a rod of correction. And then what saves us? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? So verse 19. So it shall be, sorry, one more thing just popped in my head. So in order for her to be spared, she had to do something. Very easy, but she had to tie that red rope around her window, right? And for us to be saved, we have to do something, right? We have to believe that Jesus died for our sins and that on the third day he rose again as proof that that payment was accepted. So it shall be that wherever you go outside the doors of your house, into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. So if they get curious and open the door, it's going to be a bad time for them. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear. Verse 21. And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way but did not find them. So when the two men returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him that all had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of this. So skip forward a little bit. Spoiler alert, they do go into Jericho. They do destroy that city utterly. There is some sin that comes out of that. When someone takes some gold and buries it, and that costs him his life and his family's life, all of his livestock, all of that because of a personal sin. But you see this faithfulness of Rahab, and you see that eventually, reading through and studying your Bible, that Rahab will eventually get to integrate in with Israel, and she'll have a son, Boaz. Boaz will have a son, they'll have a son, and then that line will carry on through Jesus. So that grace of Jesus being afforded to his own personal line, and given that grace, that forgiveness to a prostitute. And you may be asking, well, he doesn't know where I've come from. He doesn't know what I've done. And I want to encourage you that he does. Right? And he will forgive you for that. But you have to put your trust in him. And it's one thing to know that he's going to be with you and that he's going to forgive you in your head, but it's a completely separate thing to know that he's going to forgive you and he's going to be with you in your heart. And even more so, it's important to know that in your head and your heart when you're going through a trial, when things are hard. So I just want to encourage you that if you are going through a trial, please remember that. And to stay in prayer and to stay in his word. And if you're not going in a trial, you will soon. Unless the rapture happens between now and then. But and I want to encourage you then, stay in the word, right? Stay in prayer and be faithful to what God's calling you to do. I wasn't going to, but I'll wrap up with a little story because we've got 3 hours left and I'm about to end. So Crystal and I, coming out of a fairly difficult time in our marriage, and we're coming back together, and then Josh asked if we would be interested in providing some marriage counseling for a couple. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, we're just coming out of the season. I don't want to get back into it so soon. I know that typically whenever we step out in faith like that, the arrows start flying. Normally I'd be okay. I'm just, this isn't it for me. So then me and Crystal are sitting at the dinner table and we start strategizing. Like, yeah, well, we're going to say this and what about this and we're going to do this. And all right, cool. Yeah, so we got this game plan. And then Josh is like, all right, well, let me give you guys a call real quick. So I think, like, all right, well, this is on lock, right? We're out of this one. And like all of the things that we had questions about or concerns about, he answered like pretty much in order of how we were going to bring them up. And all of the arguments that we had that we were going to be able to wrestle this calling away and put it back in his court, he pretty much shot them all down, right? So, it's learning that doing the things that may be uncomfortable, that you may not want to do, are going to make you stronger in your walk with the Lord, going to make you stronger in your walk with the people that are in your life, right? Your wife, your friends, your coworkers. There may be some uncomfortable challenges with that. So I encourage you guys to get comfortable being uncomfortable sometimes. So with that, we'll pray. So Lord God, thank you again for this time, for your word, Lord. Please continue to be with Josh and his family again. Just help them feel better. And be with us this week as we go out into the world. Just help us be shining examples of you. Put us in front of people that you want us to share your word with, and that you please soften their hearts to your word, Lord, and help us to remember that you are with us, and that you'll never leave us or forsake us. I want to encourage you, all those again who are going through trials, Lord, please to be with them and comfort them as they go through the heartache and issues that they're dealing with. I'll just ask and pray of you. Amen.